Well, there was report that the economy created nearly 300,000 jobs. It lasted about 30 seconds by market standards. Not a lot of people believed it. Up next, Gerald Celente, our special trends analyst. His website, trendsresearch.com, and he's next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Gerald Celente, founder and director of the Trends Research Institute, the number one trend analyst, and he regularly provides businesses, industry, and you on this program with information about just what is going to happen in the future. And I'll tell you how important this is for Gerald, too. It's 3 o'clock in the morning on the East Coast, and he's up doing this interview. Gerald, I'm impressed, my friend. How are you?
Oh, you don't have to be impressed. I always enjoy being on your show, and I love talking to the listeners on your show, your audience, because they're so educated and aware of what's going on. I'm doing fine. I just got over a bout of bronchitis a while ago, but I'm back on my feet. And how are you?
I'm doing great. Kicked in the new year. I can't believe it's 2011 already, Gerald.
Yeah, it went quick.
it's bizarre. I wrote a check today. And, you know, you write out 2011 on the thing. It's just surreal, isn't it?
Yeah, well, you know, the older you get, the faster it goes.
in all ways. What was this story that was on Wednesday that the economy created 300,000 jobs and nobody believed it?
Yeah, well, why should they believe it? Look what's going on. They said that the Obama administration said that with the stimulus program, by now we'd have unemployment rate at about 8%, and we're closer to the official unemployment rate is at 10%. The jobs aren't being created, but George, the stimulus money is working. Not the Obama stimulus money, nor the George Bush TARP money, but the $13 trillion that the Federal Reserve shuffled under the table to banks around the world. Actually, it's closer to $20 trillion, depending on whose numbers you look at. That's right, with a T. And it went to hedge funds. Those wonderful people out there, those hedge fund people, and it went to General Electric and Verizon and the banks in Canada, the Netherlands, France, Germany, Spain, Ireland, England, the Bank of Japan, Korea. This is one big Ponzi game, and they're flooding the world with cheap money, and they're doing the same thing in Europe with the European Central Bank. So, yes, some jobs are being created. Yes, it appears that there is somewhat of a recovery, but it's a false recovery being propped up by that digital money that's not worth the paper it's not printed on.
It's a house of cards, isn't it,
George? It is. And George, remember going back in 2000 when we were talking, and I was so adamant that this real estate bubble was a phony and that the only reason it was happening is because they had lowered interest rates to 46-year lows. And everybody was saying, oh, you're a gloom and doomer. You know, people want to believe that the Ponzi scheme is real, and they want to believe it again. And by the way, there's something very interesting going on that people really need to know about. There's a currency war going on now.
Huge, yes.
It's huge. Now, Chile is now in the game. Every South American country other than Mexico is in this currency war. The next thing you're going to see are trade wars. And currency wars plus trade wars, when you go back to the 1930s, they equal real wars.
That's exactly right. Exactly. And it's on the horizon. And, you know, you can see the players shuffling right now. You can see where it's going to happen. You look at Iran, you look at North Korea. I don't know how Russia and China are positioning themselves yet, but you can see these next spots, Gerald.
Yes, you can. And by the way, Winter Trends Journal that will be out in about a week and a half, we're writing a lot about North Korea. And here's the thing, and China. The reality with North Korea is that their border is less than 100 miles away from Seoul, South Korea. And Seoul, South Korea has 24 million people in it. And they have enough missiles, let alone their nuclear capability, to turn Seoul into dust. God forbid there's a war.
And vice versa, right?
Oh, yeah. But, you know, they have nothing to lose in the sense that they don't have much already.
Yeah.
And they don't care that much about their people.
That's true. That's true.
All of this tough talk going back and forth, it's nothing more than that. If war breaks out, it will really be hell.
If someone like Kim Jong-il and his family end up going on a sabbatical to Switzerland, and you assume they then have moved any monies over there, that could be a telltaling part of the story right there. Because I would guess before they launch, they're going to get out of there because they know there's going to be a retaliation.
Right, but they also have the other place to escape to, communist China.
Mm-hmm.
Are you allowed to call communist China communist now that they're doing business with us anymore, even though they're a totalitarian government and throw anybody in jail that says anything that they don't like?
Yeah. And they get away with it.
And they get away with it because our politicians let them get away with it. And all our great companies in this nation that sold us out, first they brought the manufacturing capability there, and now they've exported our brain power. Because when the Chinese let the manufacturers come there, they also had to bring their technology. And now look what that technology is doing. Have you Boeing, Siemens, Hitachi, you name the country around the world, they've all sold them our technology, and now you've seen it. Now they have stealth jets out there using our technology. They have missile defense systems that can take out our aircraft carriers using our technology. And what did all these companies do it for? To make money. They sold out our country to make more money, bigger profits.
What's the wake-up call for this year, Gerald? What's going to happen?
The wake-up call, George, is that only little children, ideologues, and the out of touch aren't going to be able to see that the jig is up, the game is over. You know, when we call the crash of 2010, we made it very clear in the Trends Journal in the winter of 2009, we were not talking about a stock market crash because the stock market is totally rigged and we don't have a handle on it. Nobody does. Not with these high frequency traders, black pools, all of this inside trading. What we did say, there would be a global crisis of some sort, a currency crisis, some kind of an equity crisis, and we're seeing it with the European Monetary Union. What we did not know until a month ago was what I was talking about before, and that was because of the Dodd-Frank bill, we found out that the Federal Reserve dealt estimated $20 trillion worth of deals. What we're saying is these scams and deals are going to run out in 2011, and people will wake up that what looks like Ireland and Greece is going to start looking like the USA.
I was talking 3 weeks ago with a commercial real estate agent, thinking of what you said on this program many months ago about the next possible trend here, commercial real estate sector. And I just said, so what's going on? I mean, are you selling buildings? Are people buying them? What's going on? She said, George, let me tell you something. Half the tenants in her clients' portfolios can't pay their rent. These are commercial little businesses, the mom and pop businesses, the strip malls. And I said, what do you mean? She said, they can't pay the rent. The mortgage companies are calling her clients. They want to get paid on the mortgages that they overpaid for years ago, and they don't have the money to pay them down. The people are walking away now from commercial real estate buildings, Gerald.
That's right. And again, with that Federal Reserve money, a lot of that also went to the commercial sector to help keep propping them up. They're offering them loans at no interest rates. Isn't that wonderful?
What a no interest rate loan.
You could have one too, George, if you give your favorite politician enough money so they could get the deal done for you.
Can you imagine having a mortgage on your house with no interest?
Whatever. Wouldn't it be wonderful?
Oh, my gosh. Whatever you pay goes to principal.
Just yes, because but you see, you have to be a too big to fail or a member of the Bananos or the Gambinos, which we now call the Republicans or the Democrats. And this is what's happened to this country in front of our eyes. This in the history books is going to go down as something that's tantamount to the Civil War. I mean, it's at that level. Who would have ever thought of us having this conversation 10, 15 years ago? Well, it would have been science fiction.
Yeah, you know, there's no doubt about it. And, you know, I don't like to use the phrase the little people because I think that's condescending.
Well,
hardworking people. No. You didn't say that. I'm talking about me. And so I talk about the average folks, and the average person is getting the short end of the stick right now, isn't he?
That's right, and that's one of our trends for 2011. It's called Screw the People. And we're getting hit at every level. Look what's going on. And again, you take a global view and the same thing as local. What they call austerity measures. Here's an austerity measure. We're going to lower the minimum wage. So you hit the people right down at the bottom. Oh, and by the way, we're a shortage of jobs, not going to get any. And those people, you have your pension and your benefits, we're going to cut them. And we're also going to cut services. But here's the deal. We're going to raise your taxes.
In every way we can.
Exactly. Because the banks need your money. They made bad bets, and we don't want them to lose any money because the World Banks made all of these bad bets. So it's going to come out of your pockets and your kids' pockets. Oh, your kids, by the way, we're going to raise their tuition. Like they did over in the UK. They jacked it up three times. That's why you saw these kids out in the street rioting, and when they saw the royal couple screaming, off with their heads. And that just has happened to be the headline of the Trends Journal in the fall before all this happened. I'll tell you, George, a good business, an entrepreneurial opportunity that you're going to see in the future are going to be guillotines.
Oh, my God. I mean, it could.
Oh, no, people are angry.
People are angry. They're upset. There's no doubt about that. And you see it in all walks of life. You see it in every sector. I mean, those people who are the people who are lucky enough to be working, the people who have jobs, many will listen to this program, you, me, the people who are working are keeping the economy propped up because we're still working. But there are a lot of people who aren't, and I think that's going to grow even bigger, isn't it?
Yes. John Williams, the shadow statistics. You know, he's looking at unemployment rates at 20% when you factor in the underemployed and the people off the rolls. They're not creating jobs. The stimulus is going to be running out more this year. Oh, and then there's that other little factor, the $2 trillion that municipalities and states have in bonds and unfunded pensions. I think when you really add it up, it comes more like $9 trillion that they're not going to be able to pay off, and they're going to start being defaulting on bonds. They're going to be cutting back more and more jobs. You cannot create jobs by just printing money. You need a productive capacity. You go back to the 1990s. What got us out of that recession is very simple. It was the Internet revolution. Mm-hmm. Our whole lives changed. Products were manufactured. They were designed. They were serviced. A whole different society was born. We need that kind of thing.
Are we going to get it?
Yes. We believe it's on the horizon, and it's something that you talk about on your show and a number of the people you have on there that are the visionaries and that are looking into the new fields that are the most promising opportunities. And we believe we're going to see some big breakthroughs coming about in alternative energy. And there are two reasons why it's not happening. And this is not a conspiracy theory. We have it in chapter and verse in the Trends Journal. It'll be out shortly. One of them, of course, as you well know, is that the corporations keep buying up the most the promising new technologies because they don't want to bring them out
right.
in the market.
And then they bury them, right?
And then they bury them.
Yep.
And that's a fact. And the other one is the patent office. The U.S. Patent Office is holding up over a dozen very promising new energy, alternative energy inventions.
That's an interesting thought, too. They're just sitting on these.
They're sitting on them, and they will not release them because of claims that they're using improper language, that their physics is wrong, and they're holding it up. But there's going to be a breakthrough. And whether it happens in this country or another one, we've identified the ones that are most probable. And also for investment opportunity, we don't give investment advice. We're just telling people these are the ones that we believe you should be looking at. And it, yes, it's going to be along the lines of cold fusion, zero-point energy, charge clusters, permanent magnets, and others. And as they say, that old saying that's a lifetime old, necessity is the mother of invention. We're now looking at oil prices again approaching $100 a barrel.
Here we go, $4 or $5 a gallon again.
Exactly. Now what happens to the sputtering recovery that never was? It sputters to death. And now what's also going on, by the way, and people need to know this, one of the major reasons why oil prices are going up, it's yes, supply and demand is part of that. But the other issue is the devaluation of the dollar, and all of these commodities, many of the commodities, are dollar-based. So the cheaper the dollar becomes, the more it costs to buy everything. That's where your inflationary spiral really kicks in, like the Zimbabwean dollar or the old Deutschmark during the hyperinflation days of the Weimar Republic.
Tell me about taxes, Gerald. They continue to go up. Municipalities are putting in these red light cameras. We talked about it last night to try to generate more revenue. I mean, at what point does the person say enough is enough?
Well, you know my saying, George, when people lose everything and have nothing left to lose, they lose it. And you're going to start seeing it. And you well pointed it out. Look, you know, the police, by the way, have become the enforcers for the crime bosses. Have you seen one big Wall Street head roll from all of this financial criminal activity?
Nope.
Not a one. They're off limits. Don't touch them. Go somewhere else. Well, they can't break the gangs down. They're too smart for them, the Bloods and the Crips and the rest. So who are they going after? You go 5 miles over the speed limit. Like you said, they have all these cameras out there, all this other kind of electronic devices out there, and they're ready to pull over anybody and give them a ticket. You think you committed a high crime and misdemeanor.
When we come right back with Gerald Celente, we'll talk about what happens with crime, a little bit more about alternative energy. What about cyber wars? Next hour, we'll take your calls with him on Coast to Coast AM. Well, next hour, we'll take your phone calls with Gerald Celente. When we come back, more to talk with him about. I do love his views and his ideas, and I'm telling you what, you should take some notes and plan your own financial life ahead because he's spot on. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Gerald, you'd look at the possibility of crime waves with your theory of no jobs, no money, debt equals stress, strained relationships, short fuses. That's a problem.
Well, yeah, and we're going to start seeing it really increase. And the group we're worried about the most, we're going to see elderly people start committing crimes. You're going to start seeing middle-aged people, all ages. And by the way, crime is becoming as American as apple pie. Look what they do. You see the banks robbing us in broad daylight. Oh, but they have white shoe boy language for it. Oh, these fraud closure things where people sign thousands and thousands of false documentation. They call it robo-signers. Isn't that a nice word for fraud and criminal activity? So people are seeing, George, at all levels, that from the welfare cheat all the way up to the top of the Wall Street con men, they're saying, and the politicians. I mean, we have this guy Rangel over here in New York. There's nothing that he could do. Beat taxes, you name it, he never gets censored. You know, he still has his job. So people are saying, listen, I'll do anything I can to survive. And crime is becoming an acceptable, as immoral as it is, way of life. So what we're really worried about, as I was saying, are these young people that are born into nothing to begin with, and they don't know who their father is. They come from these terrible families, drugs. They're not graduating high school. And at one time, there were job opportunities for them. They could get a low-skilled or a moderately skilled job in a factory. We don't have that anymore.
No.
And that's the group we're most worried about, because the employment they're going to find is in the fastest-growing segment of business operations called gangs. And if you want to see what could happen to the USA, just cast your eyes south of the border, where the gangs are actually taking over cities. And we're concerned that the same thing is a reality in America if things don't change quickly.
What about the income tax? Are we ever going to see it changed? Are we going to get a fair tax?
Probably not, because of the two-headed one-party system that's in place. And there's no will to do it, not as long as they could keep squeezing the people. So what they're going to do to keep making up for lost revenues, as we were talking about before, is to nickel and dime us to death. Whether it's parking meter violations, licensing fees. You know, it's something, George. These dim-witted bureaucrats whose livelihood depends upon whether or not the public coffers are filled with money, all of a sudden become these shining, bright people that come up with these schemes on how to get every penny out of us. So as long as they keep dreaming up these ideas of getting every nickel and dime out of us, we don't think there's going to be a just tax policy.
No, I think you're absolutely right. What about now the crackdown on liberty? You've looked at that, and that continues to get eroded, doesn't it?
Have you seen the video? I encourage everyone to go. Now, of course, you could go on YouTube. You get everything of our Homeland Security czarette, Janet Napolitano, saying that, you know, we have to be worried about terrorism, and that Homeland Security begins in your hometown. And she's talking about when you go to Walmart and you see something that might not be right, to rat the person out because they could be a terrorist. The only thing missing in this video is it should be spoken with a heavy German accent from 1939.
So true.
You can't believe this is happening. This is Gestapo USA. How about those drones? They're bringing Afghanistan and Pakistan and Iraq to the USA. They have drones flying around Miami-Dade, peering in your windows, following you on the streets, and now in Houston. This is America. And you know what I want to know, George? Who's watching the people that are watching us?
Exactly. Exactly.
So So, yes, we're losing liberties at every level. It began with George Bush with the Patriot Act, and boy, there cannot be a better Orwellian name than that one. How about the raping of the Constitution Act? And now, of course, with the TSA groping. So what they're doing, first they took our money with all the bailouts and the TARPs and these kids that have these college kids that are indentured servants. There's no way of getting out of that college debt. And now they're taking our dignity away from us. And that's what they're doing with the crackdown on liberty.
It's I think, an organized plan. They know exactly. They've got some psychologists behind this, and they're saying this is what you need to do in order to bring these people, us, down to our knees.
You got it. Because they're losing control because they cannot repair the economy. And, you know, I love it. Yeah, I listen to President Obama, and you know me long enough, I'm a political atheist. I don't believe in any of this stuff. So when I talk about him, I'd say the same thing about Bush or anyone.
And you have.
And I have, right?
Yeah, right.
And I'm hearing him say, well, now I'm going to really concentrate on the economy in 2011. What do you mean you're going to concentrate on the economy? I'm watching you eat a shaved ice, walking around with flip-flops on and a Chicago White Sox baseball cap, a T-shirt and shorts. What are you going to – you're going to concentrate on that? Like this guy has a genius brain that they're going to be able to figure this out? And then I looked at that photo, and again, talking – everything, putting it all into context on how they're treating us. And I looked at the photo of this guy that plays commander and chief dressed like that, and I thought of Dwight D. Eisenhower, the president of the United States. Five-star general, supreme commander of the Allied forces in Europe.
Yeah.
And compare these two characters. My God. All you have to do is look at that, and you can see where our country is going.
But I tell you, the people were so frustrated, they elected a guy with minimal experience.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, after George Bush, remember, he was booed off stage at inauguration.
Yeah.
I mean, after 8 years of George Bush, you know, Benito Mussolini would have been cheered into power.
It's so true. Well, you know, here's the thing. Over the next few years, is it going to give us the perception that it's getting better, or is it all going to collapse around us?
We believe the wake-up call is going to be in 2011. The game's going to run out. It's going to run out in Europe. There's no way of salvaging this debt crisis over there. Again, the European central banks have flooded the banks with all the money that they're asking for. They are bailing out everyone. They're running out of dough. Oh, but you know what the wild card in this one is? I mean, again, you can't make this up. The Chinese are going to come to the rescue.
They're going to save everybody.
Yeah, the Chinese are going to start buying up European debt. They're making deals now with Spain, with Portugal, with Ireland. And, you know, they're not doing this from the bottom of their
heart. Do they have that kind of money to do this?
They have over $3 trillion worth of foreign reserve currencies. And they want to put that money to work. But here's the deal. They're not going in and doing this as, you know, we're helping you out.
They want clout.
That's right. You know the golden rule. Those who have the gold rule.
That's exactly right. You know, rather than a specific takeover of a country, you own their debt. You own them, don't you?
That's right. And they're going to be getting all kinds of rights because the politicians are selling everybody out. But again, that's a wild card. Whether or not that happens as it plays out is another thing. But the countries to watch, Ireland is going under. There's no salvaging. There's no salvaging Greece. Spain is next. And by the way, when you look, and we have it all outlined again in the Trends Journal, who these people, when they call this sovereign debt default, who is going to take, again, white shoe boy language, a haircut? Isn't that nice? When the big banks lose money, it's a haircut. And they don't want to get a haircut. So when you look at where the money comes from in these bondholders, it's just the big banks. So this one big Ponzi scheme. And we believe, George, and that's why we're calling it wake-up call, in 2011, they're not going to be able to hold it together anymore. And I heard that commercial as I was waiting on there about gold and the fiat currencies, and I agree 100%. This paper money is not going to be worth the paper it's not printed on.
What is your take on this WikiLeaks story?
You know, if you go to our website, trendsresearch.com, go to the media blog, and there's me on Fox talking about it, and they had four people ganged up against me, including a CIA guy. I'm all for it. And I'll tell you why. When the WikiLeaks first came out with the Afghanistan WikiLeaks and the Iraq WikiLeaks, here was the line. You know, by putting this information out there, they're putting our people in jeopardy. They didn't put anybody in jeopardy. I'll tell you what's in jeopardy. When you read the WikiLeaks, you find out what a bunch of thieves, what a bunch of criminals, what a bunch of lightweights, losers, and liars the world leaders are. When they talk about Sarkozy and Merkel and all of these leaders in Afghanistan, Pakistan, all the stands, what thieves and crooks they are, what backbiting and the facade that they're always putting on out there when, you know, they're all shaking hands in these photo ops.
Yeah. And they all hate each other.
And they all hate each other. The world is one big Berlusconi.
It is. You know what? It's a scam. You know, I would guess that after they shake hands and the parties part, they probably all talk about each other, put each other down, and they just don't stop.
Exactly. And that's why they don't want this out. Because it's showing what it looks like. You know, you've heard me say this before. You know, the diplomats, you know, they're all so brilliant, the legislators, the president, the secretaries of this and that. These are the same people you couldn't stand in high school and college that wanted to become the class presidents and the head of the student councils. Most of them are sociopaths. They're brown nosers, they're suck-ups, they're glad-handers. You remembered him in school. They're the same exact people. They followed their career path. They were always never bright. All they knew how to do was game the system.
And they've done it well. But it's going to catch up with them.
Yes, because it's bringing down our societies. Look what's going on around the world. As I, you know, off with their heads, they're screaming at the royal couple. You're seeing riots in Italy. The young people, by the way, that's where the revolution's going to happen. The 60s revolution happened in the United States because of the draft. Nobody's protesting the wars now because their kiddies aren't getting drafted and the kids aren't getting drafted. I was there. You remember that time? Yeah, that's
sure.
What it was about. Now these kids are losing everything, and that's why they're out there, and that's where the protests are going to come from.
When do they start happening here?
It's very difficult to put a timeline in the USA because the kids here have become so soft, spoiled, and coddled. You know, every little kid, when they're born, they're special. Have you ever met one that isn't? And then when they get older, they become amazing. And now they're living at home with mommy and daddy. They can't get jobs. And then when you do protest in this country, look what happened at the G20 meeting up in Pittsburgh, not, you know, a couple of years ago,
right,
where you had all of these goon squads that were dressed like Ninja Turtles with enough body armor to walk through the Battle of the Bulge unscathed, beating up co-eds. And you saw the same thing happen right up in Toronto. So, and then in Europe, you know, everything is centralized. You know, the cities and people all live together. Here we're spread out to the suburbs. But I believe you're going to see it taking shape in a different way here, and probably a cyber war of sorts, and that's going to be part of the revolution. There are the young people that are the activists, but it's a very, very small group. It's not going to accelerate until they become a lot more angry of having these college degrees in worthlessness that they're $100,000 in debt for, and they're indentured servants for the rest of their lives because they have to pay it off. When that anger rises to a level, then they'll be out on the streets. But we believe we're going to see a lot more of it in Europe before it happens in the USA.
Gerald, there's a religious group out right now. They claim that May 21st of this year, the end is near. It's Armageddon time. You know, I thought it was ridiculous until things started happening, like dead birds falling from the sky and everything else. They could be right.
Yeah, it can be. You know, I just got someone sent me an email saying mysterious bird deaths now in Sweden.
Yeah.
And then we saw all these crabs, you know, washing up to shore. You know, I'm wondering also, George, what effect of this may be possibly from all that BP spill? Does this play into it? And again, you know, I mean, they're poisoning the planet at record levels. Look at the pollution pouring out of China. I mean, how can we not be, you know, subjected to something? And by the way, as we move into 2011, into 2012, you're going to see Armageddonites, boy, they're really going to be coming out of the woodwork, particularly with the Mayan calendar.
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, Y2K is going to look like a picnic coming up in the future, compared to how people are going to respond. And again, as you say, and I agree with you, you know, for good reason. You know, what's going on over here? And I love the line they give. Oh, it was fireworks that killed all the birds. Yeah. Yeah. And once upon a time.
I've seen fireworks every July 4th since I was a kid. And not once have I seen a dead bird near any of these fireworks.
I know. This is just another government cover-up.
Yeah, I think so, too. You talk about a mystery trend. You're going to reveal it in a few weeks.
Yeah, well, I can give you a hint.
All right, give us a hint.
Know the hand that feeds you. And I'll tell you what it is.
This is a riddle.
I'll spill the beans because you're already starting to see it happening. Food prices are skyrocketing around the world. There's going to be shortages. There's going to be riots like we saw in 2008. They're going to continue to escalate.
Over food.
Think of the numbers, George. It took 100,000 years to 1900 to put 1.5 billion people on the planet. We've added, since 2000 to now, we've added another billion people. You're looking at all these weather patterns where you're seeing serious droughts in Russia, flooding in Australia, on and on. Food prices are skyrocketing. And also on the other ends, what we're looking at is where there's going to be not only on the commodity levels of making money in food, but also with clean food. We saw what happened, by the way, with this salmonella scare. There's going to be a lot more of that coming. There's going to be very, very strong demand for clean foods.
Will we see a war over food and water?
We're going to see a war, but also what they're going to be doing, and they've done it already with the Senate Bill 510, is they're going to continue to try to squeeze out the family farmer and the small producer. And I always get a kick. I'm very saddened by it, by the so-called progressives that supported this legislation thinking that, you know, it's going to protect the food supply. It's not. And I'll tell you why when we come back.
You got that right, Gerald Celente, with a final hour with phone calls. Your calls next on Coast to Coast AM.